Yeehan. She's been in here for a while. I kind of have to pee. But Yeehan's in the bathroom. Yeehan, she's one of the tenants here. Now, this is the one thing I like about this place. No, not that people spend a long time in the bathroom. It's that I get to meet people of different nationalities. So Yeehan, she's from China. And we have Felipe, he's from Brazil. And Yeehan is very petite. And Felipe is giant. The guy's huge. Seriously, he's 7 feet tall. Size of a tank. Nice guy. Very nice guy. Anyway, I have to pee, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. What's Yeehan doing in there? I can't. Right now, we have one bathroom here. That's one of the challenges. So far, it's been no problem. Until today. Let's see. Right now, we have, Juliana, her sons, living here now for a while. We got Yeehan, we got Felipe, we got me. So we got five people using one bathroom. That's fine. You know, it's okay. All right, it's okay. Now we're going to begin the show in earnest so I can speak to you in a regular tone of voice. And it is warmish in here. There's no air conditioning here when the door is closed. Now you see, here's the door. That's the door leading to the outside world. No, not really the outside world. That's the door leading to the kitchen. That door gains access to this precious room. And when that door is closed, it means it's Zender's room. When it's open, it's the laundry room. But here's a couple of disadvantages. One disadvantage of it being closed, well, for most people it would be a disadvantage, is that there's no air conditioning in here. That's right. You know what? That's fine with me because I have this. This is one of my prized possessions. I have two prized possessions in this life. Well, I guess I should count my Bible. But I have the Word of God in me. That Bible could burn. I'd be fine. But this fan, I don't think I can live without it. I have the Word of God makes its home in me richly. But this fan, this is one of my prized possessions right there. See, so I got that fan blowing on me all night. And most people come in here and they go, God, it's hot in here. I say, yeah, that's how I like it. That's the way, I like it. And I do like it hot. That's why I'm in South Florida. I'm digging it. Temperature's 91 every day, high humidity. You come outside, hits you like a blast furnace. I love it. Give me more blast furnace. Then I get in my car, and my car is about 100 degrees hotter than that, so making it about 200 degrees. And I'm like, yeah, that feels good. And it does. Let's see. Oh, my other prized possession is my GPS. Oh, my gosh. I am so navigationally challenged, and I have been the rest of my life. During the snatching away, I will probably get lost. I will make wrong turns. I will end up in Chicago or Neptune somewhere other than where I'm supposed to be. So I'd like to assign a couple of you to look out for me during the snatching away because I will veer off. And everybody will say, Zender, there were signs, but I interpreted them differently, I'm guessing, you know. Vague. Maybe the signs were vague. You know, you have the signs going on the entrance of a freeway. And the sign's right there, and there's an entrance. So you go in there, and you find out you just went into a Walmart. What the heck? Oh, the entrance to the freeway was 50 yards ahead, but the sign was right there. It was ambiguous. Put the sign where the entrance is. It looked like the entrance to a freeway. It was the entrance to a Walmart. I hope that doesn't happen during the snatching away. Let's see now. That quote from that guy about, I shared with you Friday that this heavier than aircraft will not be able to carry anything more than an insect. And I laughed. I thought that was hilarious because the guy was obviously a doofus. And today, aircraft carry tanks. They carry, I mean, the Army, just speaking of like the C-130s, Army transport, they carry tanks and trucks and just a passenger plane carrying 250 people. The size of these things, the 757s, what, they have a 767 now, right? I mean, I live very near the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport here
international airport, mind you, and when I'm driving down I-95, it never ceases to be a thrill to see these craft coming down. It's like they're floating like a feather, and they make a feather-like landing on a runway. To me, it is unbelievable. It seems still like a miracle that something like that could fly, but it tells you that the air, which was thought to be nothing because it's invisible, is a substance. It's substantive. It has properties, and we're loaded with it right now. It's all over the place here. You can't see it. All you can see is Judy Garland and my phone cord and my lamp, and I still have the artistic tableau going on here, along with the disco ball. So it's a miracle, and that has always been to me a picture of the grace of God, because here, the grace of God, you can't see it, and so people don't trust it. If they can't see it, they don't trust it. That's why people like the law of Moses, because you can see it. Here are laws, and if you disobey them, then this punishment ensues, and so it's a instant retribution that's very plain. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, and people trust it because it's so there, it's so real. But then it's like the stone undergirds their morality. Or without that stone, without the laws tacked up on the wall where they can read them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, there's actually 613 of them, sorry about your luck, people feel like, well, we can do this. This will undergird our attempts at morality. And yet, grace is invisible. Yet, Paul calls it, I believe in Romans 1:16, God's power for salvation. It's invisible, just like air, and yet it's a power. How is it a power? Because grace tells you that no matter what you do, God still loves you. No matter what you do, you cannot fall out of God's favor, because Romans 5:8, he saved you while you were still a sinner. That's helpful information. That's grace, and that has power, because when you apprehend it, you realize how much God loves you and that you can't screw it up, and it makes you love him even more. And so this mutual love, also known as reconciliation, is empowering, and it actually is more helpful, more able to keep you from slipping and to keep you from falling out of the air, just as the air keeps airplanes from falling out of the air. More quotes from this excellent book here. I recommend it to you, The Wright Brothers by David McCullough. In December came another voice of scientific authority denouncing, as Simon Newcomb had, that was the name of that dipstick, Simon Newcomb, who said that the plane wouldn't carry anything heavier than an insect. So another article came denouncing, as Simon Newcomb had, the dream of flight as a total sham. The article appearing in the greatly respected North American Review, and written by no less than the chief engineer of the United States Navy, Rear Admiral, get ready for the name of another dipstick, chief engineer of the United States Navy, Rear Admiral George Melville. And here is what the Einstein George Melville had to say. Quote, a calm survey of certain natural phenomenon leads the engineer to pronounce all confident prophecies for future success as wholly unwarranted, if not absurd. Where, even to this hour, are we to look for the germ of the successful flying machine? Where is the preparation today? Where is it, you moron? It is in a bicycle shop in Dayton, Ohio. It is out on the extremity of the beaches of the United States of America in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. That's where the progress is. But the reason you don't see it is the same reason that Wilbur and Orville's uncle himself didn't see it. This is a great quote. This is the best quote of the book. I'm turning to it now. Hang on. This is going to be worth it. It is going to regale you. They had already flown. Where's that postcard? They sent a telegram from Kitty Hawk, and it's so beautifully understated. I'm going to find that. It's so beautifully understated. They sent it to their sister, who was quite a supporter. She believed in them. The Wright sister. You don't hear much about Wright sister, do you? It's all the Wright brothers this, Wright brothers that. What about the Wright sister? Nah, you don't hear too much about that. All right, I'll find that later. Their nephew, Milton. Now, you would expect a man named Milton to actually be the doofus and the dipstick, but no. This is a genius. Well, not at first. Listen to this. Their nephew, Milton, who as a boy was often hanging around the brothers, would one day write, quote, "History was being made in their bicycle shop and in their home, but the making, that is the making of the history, was so obscured by the commonplace that I did not recognize it until many years later." History was being made in their bicycle shop and in their home, and I would like to add out at Kitty Hawk, but the making was so obscured by the commonplace that I did not recognize it until many years later. That's it. It's obscured by the commonplace. It's too common. And this is exactly the persecution Jesus Christ suffered because of this kind of thing. His greatness was obscured by the commonplace. It's just so hard for us to believe that such epic events can happen in such obscure places during commonplace things like meals and getting up and going to work. This is why when you get up in the morning, it's an extraordinary thing. When you brush your teeth and get ready for the day, you know, I've always thrilled that the magnificent, the important, the earth-shattering events happen on ordinary average days, and you would never guess that this day is the day. When our Lord was born, what more commonplace events would you like? Joseph and Mary heading to the birth of their forefathers to Bethlehem, not finding any room in the inn. How commonplace is that? Can you picture Joseph as the husband, leaves his wife in the car, i.e. on her donkey, goes into the Motel 6, goes into the Super 8, goes into the Holiday Inn. I mean, he starts with the cheap places, the Motel 6, the Super 8. Then he says, well, we got to find something. So now he starts going to the Holiday Inn. He starts going to the Westin Inn, who knows? Days Inn, is that an expensive place? It is for me. Days Inn. Oh, okay. He goes to the Days Inn. Nothing. So finally somebody says, well, I got a stable. You know, it's not going to be much, but at least you'll have privacy. So he says, I'll take it, believe me. So he goes out to the car, gets his wife. They park their donkey. They go into the stable. They move the horses. He stacks up hay bales, Joseph does, against the wall, against the sound, so that his wife can travail in peace. I think he goes back into the Days Inn, where the nice guy provided his little garage, let's say. Put it in modern terms. I got a garage. I got a garage. I can pull out my Chevy, get it out of the way. Okay, fine. So I think Joseph goes back, finds a midwife, finds somebody who knows. He doesn't know anything about giving birth. Commonplace. So he goes back and says, I found this wonderful woman who says she is an expert at giving birth. Mary says, how many children have you delivered? She says, one. Good enough. Come on in. So she comes in and they have this baby, their baby, and it's the savior of the world. And the only way anybody knows about it is because it has to be divinely announced and pronounced. And who does it go to? Well, it goes to the most humble people on the face of the surface of the ground at that time. Those would be the shepherds. And they hear and see celestial beings flitting about like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, and singing songs, by the way. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth, and goodwill toward men. And these are truths which we hold to be self-evident. And so they then ran towards the garage, and they found the Savior there. But many people would have missed it without divine enlightenment because of the very thing that we just read there. I didn't recognize it because it was just surrounded by too many commonplace things. Commonplace. Commonplace. Yet, commonplace is sacred ground. Commonplace is where these things happen. So don't despair about how common your life is, because God is doing an uncommon thing in the midst of your common life. And he's doing the same thing with me. And you have to look at the precedent. You have to look at the Savior being born in a barn or in a garage or right next to the Days Inn. You must look at the fact that he's saving the universe on a despised hill outside of the city of Jerusalem. You have to look at these things. And he's raised in the armpit of Galilee, Nazareth. This is fantastic. So where are you? Where am I, right? Yeah, I know, it's a nice laundry room. Maybe it's too nice. I hope you don't think I'm like living too high. But I do have to pee. I think I want to turn off the microphone now and see if things are available. Until then, listen, don't despise the commonplace, because it is in the commonplace that great things occur.